Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 44. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of welcoming Bettina Pickering to the show. Bettina is a multifaceted business transformation consultant, transformative leadership coach, entrepreneur mentor, published author, and an international motivational speaker. She holds a master's degree of business administration, a master's degree of science in production engineering, and more recently, she completed her master's degree in applied coaching with a focus on emotions and how we can use them as the portal for transformative change.
Well, Bettina, thank you once again for joining us today. We are truly excited to have you here.
Well, thank you so much, Laurie. I'm truly thrilled to be here with you today.
Thank you. So what we would love to know, we'd like to kind of rewind the clock here just a bit, and we'd love to hear a story of how it is you once saw the future before you decided to begin branding yourself and building out your consulting business and becoming an author. You have so many facets, you know, under that hat. But how did that journey begin? What did you think the future would look like initially?
Well, I had spent about 13 years in management consultancy in employment, and I had gotten to a really good position there as a director. And I just saw, I have to say, in 2009, I felt super stuck. And the only thing I saw in my future was just more of the same in that same consultancy, maybe getting promoted to partner, but working very much in the same area with the same clients and just having, you know, same old happening all over again. Why I felt stuck was really I didn't see any more learning in my future in that environment. And I also, I almost felt I was going backwards. And I also, I became sick. That was the other thing. And a very weird illness. It seemed like a flu. It just wouldn't go away. I couldn't shake it no matter what I did. And so it just felt very grey at the time and very stagnant for me. And certainly the future didn't excite me anymore. Which it had done previously. So I always remember, even as a child, I was always very excited about the future. And at that point in 2009, I just felt, no, I'm not excited anymore. There's something, you know, wrong here. So because I couldn't accept that, and I just thought, no, I need to make a significant change. I need to find out what it is that I truly, truly want. And so I really went quite deep into myself and started to look at my values, what was really truly important to me. I also went on a coaching course, a coaching qualification. I learned NLP. I went on a fitness course to become a fitness instructor. So all in that sort of 2009-ish arena, just to sort of find out what could I do? Who do I want to be like now, and what might my dreams be now? Little knowing that, yeah, ultimately I would become an entrepreneur. And so what happened then in winter of 2009 is really, it was almost on the 1st of January 2010, where I just stood with myself. I did a meditation for about an hour, just asking myself, what do I want to do? What's going on? So what do I need to do? And what happened was, what really came out was, you need to leave. That was it. You need to leave employment. And I thought, oh, gosh, I got really, really scared because I had nothing to go to, nothing at all. But I did listen to that voice. And as soon as I had quit on the 4th of January, so I just went back into work on the, you know, first possible day. And within the hour, I just told my boss, I'm quitting. This is it. No. My dreams started to come back. And it was absolutely amazing. And so, I mean, I didn't really see self-employment or entrepreneurship in my future. But what I saw was working with people, doing lots of different things, helping people address all the things that I found difficult for myself. And so letting go of emotional traumas, becoming more into the therapeutic side, on the consultancy side, taking the pain out of change and making it even, you know, fun. Change can be fun for people. And doing what I want to do is just offering very different services to what I was able to offer before. So that was where I, how I then changed my outlook and how I really stepped into my new future.
That's awesome. I love how you took the time to really do your self-exploration, to explore what it was you would enjoy, what it was you were going to be able to derive a passion out of. And that's so important because you didn't have the idea of entrepreneurship or self-employment in your mindset. And that's important for other entrepreneurs or those looking at an entrepreneurial journey to understand, because sometimes you don't have a clue what it is that's coming next. Most entrepreneurial journeys kind of unfold as you're going through them. Your journey is ever changing, and you have to be prepared for that change, prepared to pivot. Going back to your passion, having a solid understanding of what it is you're trying to accomplish, what your passion is, taking that time to derive that out of what it is you're doing, you know, and no matter how foggy or which way the path kind of bends, as long as you know what your purpose and your passion is, you'll be able to see your direction clearly. So that's excellent. What do you feel were some of the first steps that you took once you decided, you know, okay, after January 4th, walked out of that office, you know, what did you do next? What were some of the steps?
Well, the first step actually was to create my company name and logo. And I was probably all back to front with you know, what I certainly would advise my mentoring clients to do. But that was the important thing for me, because for me, I had to know, what do I stand for? What am I, you know, showing the world as who I am? And so I looked at what are my core values and how do I want the logo to come across? What are my colors? What are, you know, who am I really? So, for example, the name Arona, that encapsulates my key three values, for example. It's a Celtic name and it's made up out of three Celtic words. And it is really the you know, non-judgment, everything's welcome. Then the second value is choice, so because I give people choice. So I take them out of stuckness into choice, and I work with my clients in partnership, which is the third value. So I wanted something that's also a bit, you know, mystical, something I could be, you know, I could almost aspire to as well. So it's not just something that's set in stone, but that also could grow with me. And the same with the colors. In Chinese medicine, and then I have studied that as well in Qigong, is my elements are water and wood, which is basically blue and green, which is in my logo. So it's a lot of things about me are absolutely encapsulated in the logo and the name and the rest of my company and my ventures. So it feels really, I feel very connected to it and in it and on it and with it. And that also is something that I found incredibly energizing when times are tough, because it is so much part of me.
I can imagine it, when it comes to creating what it is you stand for and building out the company logo and name, it can be very, very difficult. Go back to the idea of, you know, how much research and realistically how I would turn research into procrastination on actually moving forward with something because of that, the fear of whether or not it was really representing what I was looking to represent when I did go forward with it. So that makes perfect sense. I completely understand. I like the way you took the time to really coordinate what it is you were looking to present, not just for your web presence, but for the company as a whole. What did you find to be the most difficult part of becoming an entrepreneur? What do you feel was really one of the hardest pieces that kept you up at night, that, you know, you really struggled with? And how do you feel you overcame that piece of becoming an entrepreneur?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good question. And there are two areas, I would say, where I've really, really struggled. The first one was finding the right support. So the right suppliers, if you will, or partners for certain things that either I, you know, I'm completely not good at, or I just can't do. It's just not something that I've ever learned and want to learn, to be honest. And that includes things like web design, IT services, various things like automation. And it wasn't necessarily that there's nobody out there. Of course, there are lots of people out there, and it's probably too much choice out there of suppliers. And, you know, as soon as you put the word out, you get swamped by it. And that was one of the challenges as well, because I didn't know and I couldn't discern at the beginning who was good for me, who was a good fit for me, and who wasn't. And that was the thing. So I've tried different people, different things, and a lot of them just, it didn't gel. There was no connection or very little connection, which I discovered later on is really important to me. And also the way they, you know, either listened to me or didn't listen to me, or were on the same wavelength or weren't. So there was a lot of things where it was initially a lot of trial and error and a lot of wasted time, it felt. So the way I overcame that one was really thinking about, again, this is back to my values, thinking about what are my criteria for these suppliers? What do I really, really, truly need from them? How do I need them to be? And that was actually, I think, the core question for me. How do I need them to be? Not necessarily what do I need them to do, because most of the time I didn't even know what I needed them to do, because, you know, I'd never built a website before, so I had no clue what was required. You know, I knew I needed a logo and colors, but that was it. that was my full knowledge of building websites. So it's scary. So, you know, I needed somebody to tell me what to do. I didn't know. So now my first question whenever I engage with anybody is, how do I need them to be? And that has really helped to unlock that, because if they're not like that in the first few interactions, I don't work with them. Simple as that, because I know later on down the line, it's going to be wasted time and wasted money.
Right. No, definitely. I agree 100%. Finding the right people to work with and match up in terms of suppliers, vendors, affiliates, and things of that sort can be very difficult. And I think it also, you know, kind of goes back to the purpose and taking the time to understand what it is you're attempting to accomplish as your end goal, what your passion is and what the problem is that you're solving. And when you have those things clearly defined for yourself, it's much easier to look at how it is you need to be able to work with other people in order to have the ability to delegate and scale your business. Because ultimately, you know, that's what most people are looking to do with the business is be able to delegate and scale and move forward. And that's really, really impossible if you do not understand what it is to accomplish when scaling. You know, so I know you had mentioned during our pre-chat earlier that you actually have taken on a VA in terms of, you know, being able to delegate and having the ability to scale. How did you go about finding your admin?
Oh, yes, that was a kind of funny journey, in fact. So I had been looking for a virtual assistant for probably about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I connected with a few of them, and somehow I didn't connect. So even, you know, I had a number of Facebook chats, and I talked to other people, and every time I thought, no, not quite. And could have, of course, have been whether I was ready or not. But what then happened was I had a chat with my coach, my own mentor, and so she then said, oh, I know a great VA, and she lives in South Africa, so you might want to talk to her. And she used to be an executive assistant. She does all these things, and she's amazing because she doesn't let me off the hook. And I thought, oh, I like the sound of that person. Okay, I'll see if I can connect with her. So we had a lovely, lovely Skype conversation with this lady, and we immediately got on. It was just one of those things where you just know, yes, I like this person, I can get on with this person, and she'll be strong enough to sometimes push me. Because, yeah, you know, this is a partnership. And so that was great. So that really helped me. And also what I love about working with her, she tells me what she can do. So she anticipates a few things because I have no idea what, you know, the bandwidth of her skill set and the things she can offer. And of course it changes because she brings on more and more things and more people into her business as well. So whenever she notices I'm struggling with something or, you know, I ping her email and say, oh, this is not working, sorry, I'm delayed, she just comes back and says, do you want me to take that off you? Or this is the other thing I can do for you. And I'm thinking, wow, this is great. This is really helpful because she's really, I feel she is actually part of my business.
Right. Right. No, and that's priceless in some respects to be able to find that person that you're able to work with so seamlessly that the ability to scale is no longer a sticking point or a headache, but it's more, you know, a seamless effort to just kind of move in the right direction. And when everybody understands, you know, the end goal, it's far, far easier to do that. But Tina, what do you feel are some of the key metrics that a newbie should really focus on when they begin performing that market research, when they are, you know, getting ready to go ahead and make the leap and they have an idea in their head? What do you feel are some of the most important things they should begin looking into?
Well, I think there's so many things, and there's so much out there that a lot of people tend to get overwhelmed. And I find with my own mentees, I mean, they do masses of market research. They look at the product, the competition, market channels, and all of these things. And what I would suggest people focus on at the beginning are things that probably they're not that obvious. So the first one, I would say, again, it's connected a little bit to values and purpose, is who's the ideal client? And really focusing around them, because most of us entrepreneurs, we don't sell to the world. We don't sell to every single person everywhere. We sell to a specific, or actually less than sell, but we want to service a certain person. And a certain type of person rather than everybody. So I would look at, you know, where are these ideal clients? Who are they? What are their issues? You know, how many of them are they? And how can you as an entrepreneur connect with them? The second metric I would look at is how long does it actually take to get my offering to market? And what I mean by that is, you know, how long will it take from the first point of contact with whoever? It might be at a networking meeting. It might be online from the first time somebody looks at the website, or it might be the first time, you know, sending in a proposal to some sort of request somewhere. You know, how long does it take from that point to a sale, to that conversion? Because it's different for different offerings, different for different products. And, you know, I also find a lot of people, they think, oh, yeah, I've got this great offering, I know it will sell, but they forget that they still have to live in between. So knowing exactly how long this will take, or at least to a good estimate, helps to keep the cash flow going. And the last point I would say is the pricing. Because, again, I would really look at what are the ranges these ideal clients are prepared to pay for the product, and also what am I as an entrepreneur prepared to accept? Because these are quite different things. And being really clear on these things does help to put a business on really great footing, especially at the beginning.
Definitely. Knowing the market, knowing how it is you're planning to serve that market, knowing when you're actually going to be able to have some sort of cash flow and making sure that that cash flow is not only sufficient, but actually something that's going to be acceptable to the market that you're dealing with. So, no, those are awesome pieces to focus on. And I don't think that that's something that we've actually had summed up in that manner for the audience in that way. So thank you for that. Those are really good pieces for people to really pay very close attention to if they are looking to set up a successful venture. Do you feel that there's a limit to either the minimum or maximum amount of research. You know, like I was saying earlier, when I was coming up with logo and design issues, that would be the area that I felt like I would more procrastinate versus research.
Well, I think that there's no real hard and fast rule about limits. I think like you already said yourself, I think once the limit is probably reached, once you start going into excuses and you're using research or, you know, whatever it is as an excuse not to do something else. And I think every entrepreneur has to decide that for themselves when that point comes. I would say with research, there is actually something really useful to think about with that, because a lot of people don't know themselves all that well. They always go to the outside when they do research. And I would start with my own preferences to see what is really crucial to me here. And obviously, I mean, with as you already said, you know, getting the logo right or getting the online presence right, there was something important about that. So I would try to find out what's important about that to me. Is it to be seen consistently in the world? Is it that it reflects, like with me, my values and who I am? That's a different approach. Or is it to connect better with customers? Is it something that they want? And why am I doing it this way around? So I would say it's more those kind of questions up front before jumping into research that are important. So it's really, what are your preferences as an entrepreneur? And also, why are you doing it? Because once you've got those, that frames the research. And that also will let you know, where's the limit here? When should you stop?
Certainly. I think that, again, no matter what it is that the research says, you'll have the ability to pivot and to bend if, in fact, you know what that end goal is. What do you feel was the real key to your success, Bettina? What do you feel really was the largest contributor to you know, your ability to walk away on the fourth and, you know, move forward?
I would say it always comes back for me to mindset. There is something about, you know, you being an entrepreneur, there are certain characteristics or mindset elements, whatever you want to call them, you just have to have, because otherwise you're not going to last. And for me personally, it was certainly persistence, because lots of things went wrong along the way, and they do happen. You know, even recently in September, I had a massive technical failure with my laptop. So, you know, these things happen. So the question is, do you throw in the towel when this stuff happens, or just keep going? I'd also say is, you know, being open to asking for help. That would be a biggie as well. So instead of trying to go everything on your own, there are people out there who've done it before. They've overcome these challenges. And, you know, sometimes it's just asking the question. It might be in a forum or of a mentor, or even, you know, friends who are in a similar business. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, I was really surprised how easy and quick the answer was. Just asking the question, I've got this problem with that, what would you do? And, you know, it was just something amazing that then happened. A lot of the time it got solved very quickly. And I think the third point around the positive mindset, or the mindset, would be, you know, it sounds a bit trite, because, I mean, a lot of people talk about it, is this positive self-talk. And I don't mean constantly prepping yourself up and saying, oh, you're the most fantastic person in the world, but finding something that inspires you every single day. And that's what I mean by positive self-talk. So what I've done is, I've got in front of me, and I'm looking at it right now, is my vision board. And this has really positive imagery on it, images that absolutely connect with me deeply and on a hugely emotional level. It's also got some very positive words on there about my purpose, why I'm here on this world, you know, who I'm here to serve. And also some, you know, when times are tough, I found two or three quotes that I absolutely love. And, you know, when things don't work for some reason and stuff happens, I always go back to that. And it's almost like a little process I've put in for myself. So I don't wallow in the, oh no, it's not working. What do I do?
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's very cute. I do similar little kind of tricks for myself in other ways, in terms of, you know, keeping those quotes or those, you know, being able to keep the mindset in a positive state. So that's adorable. And I just want to bring it back for just a moment in terms of what you were mentioning in finding a mentor and really having that guidance, knowing when to ask for help, knowing when to reach out, and surrounding yourself with those people that you can do that with is really key, I think, to keeping that positive mindset. So that's outstanding. And I know that you have just recently authored a book, Awaken Your True Potential is the title of this book. So please, I would love for you to share a little bit of the motivation behind the book and tell us a little bit about this.
Sure, very happy to talk about my book. So what it is Awaken Your True Potential is the first of a series of books in what it's called the Dial a Guru series. So it's a self-help and business book series. And the lady behind the concept is called Dawn Campbell. And she thought of this just sitting by herself thinking, I want something where lots of different authors come together and share their journey, share what worked for them, and help other people in similar situations. So I was invited to contribute to this book series in December last year, so it's almost a year ago, and I was absolutely thrilled to be one of the people to be invited to do this. And the first book, what I'm sharing in this is all about my journey as well. So I share about how can you reconnect with your purpose or connect with your purpose, because for me it's been quite a journey doing that, and the tools that I found most useful in that. The other thing is about how to build your healthy habits in particular. And because I also found myself when I was in consulting, I neglected my health and I got into some really, really bad health habits, traveling all the time and not eating properly and not exercising properly. And it's really finding a way, how can I instill those habits, positive habits in myself? And the last chapter is all about resilience, because, you know, we're all stressed nowadays with the world going at a pace that most of us find a bit uncomfortable. And, you know, especially when you're in employment or even as an entrepreneur, probably more especially when you're starting up, there is so much to be done all the time that I find a lot of people get a bit overwhelmed and stressed. So again, I offer in that chapter some really, really practical and immediately applicable tools and techniques that people can just use and improve their situation very quickly. And I just love, and also the other co-authors of the book, they all offer incredibly practical tips, practical tools. So it's all steeped in, yes, you can do this immediately. And so we're all sharing what worked for us. So this is tried and tested stuff.
That's awesome. I will definitely be sure to link to that through the show notes page. So wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for, you know, a company in an industry that they may not have even been thinking of, to really help solve the pain. And Bettina, we would absolutely love to help you. So I would love to know, if you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why?
Right. Where do I start? Well, I think the biggest would be probably the most immediate, to have some sort of cloud system. So customer relationship management, any kind of IT system. So that covers a lot of things for me, because at the moment I find they're all in different places.
Yes.
And I haven't found one single system yet that is an email hub for several email addresses, that does the social media, that does the client interactions, that holds the newsletters, website sales, your invoicing, appointment calendar, all that kind of thing. At the moment, you know, some systems exist, I found, that do quite a lot of that together. But most of it, you do need at least 3, 4, 5 systems. And I haven't seen anybody who's just using one. And I would love, I mean, you know, being a solopreneur, yes, I have a VA now, which is great. But, you know, I want something that I can just access and see, this is the state of my business.
Yeah.
Everything, all around, that I don't have to constantly go through 3, 4 different logins and systems and things. And I wanted to be able to access that from anywhere. Because I'm, you know, I work location independently. So, you know, I just want to be able to go online and here it is. It's all there. that would be my dream. And then to top it all off, I want an IT provider, a real person, who can just operate all of that for me and who is super flexible and very happy to deal with my laptop issues when they come, especially with the new Windows and all that. I've had so many problems with it in September. And generally when I went out and talked to people, say, well, you know, this is the issue, can you help? The answer was, just wipe it, just reinstall everything. And I was like, excuse me, all my data is on there. My life is on there. What are you doing? I can't do this. So in the end, I solved it myself. It took me 5 days, but I solved it. But I'd like somebody who actually listens and who understands how vital it is for me to keep that continuity. And only in, you know, dire cases when the hard drive fails or that sort of thing, actually says, yes, we need a new laptop or we just need to let this go. So that's what I'd like. These two things, a proper, you know, business system online in the cloud and a decent IT provider.
I love that. I absolutely love that. A cloud system on the go that's not only accessible but operable.
Yes, the operable is the good word, yes.
Accessible and operable, and someone to operate all of it. So I am putting our audience to work, Bettina. Thank you.
Well, I look forward to receiving information about this. So if anyone has it, you know, please contact me.
Please, please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
So the best ways to find me is through my websites. So I've got two. One is my corporate website, which is called Arona. So that's www.arona, it's ARONAGH.com. And for my private clients, which also contains all the information about me being an author and my talks and all the other things I do publicly, is www.bettinapickering.com. So it's BettinaPickering.com. I'm also active on Twitter and Facebook. So if you put in Bettina Pickering, my name, my Twitter handles, and also my Facebook pages will come up. And then so please do connect.
Awesome. Bettina, you have been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to share today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Laurie. I really appreciate it. It was wonderful speaking with you.
You as well. Thank you.
How well do you really know you? Maybe you should take some time to take a step back and awaken your true potential. Reach out to Bettina Pickering at bettinapickering.com. You can always reach her through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Bettina Pickering. Thank you once again, Bettina. We truly appreciate you sharing your time and expertise today. And Techie Community, thank you guys for tuning in once again. I truly appreciate you checking out the show and sharing it with your friends. Don't forget to click the subscribe button over in iTunes so that you don't miss out on an episode. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.